This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 213. Today at the Ignite 2017 conference, CJ and Andrew sit down and talk to Yina Arenas about Microsoft Graph. Recorded live, September the 25th, 2017.
Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Microsoft Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, and the competitive landscape and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Andrew Connell.
And I'm Chris Johnson.
Send us a tweet, either to the show at MS Cloud Show, or to Andrew at Andrew Connell.
Or Chris at LoungeFlyZ.
As we'd love to connect with you. We're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
A 99.9% SLA means you're protected from power outages, bad patches, natural disasters, and maybe even a dinosaur attack. Does it protect you from yourself, though? AvePoint Backup for SharePoint Online provides full fidelity backup and recovery, from individual items to entire team sites. AvePoint can run backups up to 4 times a day to ensure your data is secure. Recover anytime you want without having to pick up the phone and schedule restore windows. Learn why AvePoint is the Microsoft Cloud expert at www.avpoint.com. Hello, everybody. This is Andrew. I am recording live today from our position here in the podcast area in the media center at the Ignite 2016 conference in Orlando, Florida. Today is the first day of the Ignite conference, and like previous conferences, CJ and I are pushing out a whole bunch of episodes this week of some really great stuff to share with everybody who is both at the show, but then those of you who are also not at the show just yet or are listening from afar and watching from afar. Today we saw a couple of the Envision keynotes from Satya Nadella, and there's also some other product and technology keynotes from other groups as well. And you may have seen some of our coverage on Twitter and also on our Facebook page as well. Just as a reminder, tomorrow at 11 o'clock Eastern time on Tuesday, September the 26th, we have a live show that's going to come out. So check our site for more information on that. Check us on Twitter. It's going to be all broadcast from YouTube, from our YouTube channel. So if you just go to YouTube and search for Microsoft Cloud Show, you'll find the information about that. And I'll also put a link to that in the show notes as well here. But today, what I wanted to first do is I wanted to share an interview, our first interview we did this week, with Yina Arenas from the Microsoft Graph team. So Yina Arenas is in charge of the graph for Microsoft, or in charge of the Microsoft Graph on behalf of Microsoft. And today we talked about a lot of the stuff that the graph can do, but we also talked about a lot of the new stuff that Microsoft is introducing to the graph this week at Ignite. So instead of going on and on about a really long intro here, CJ and I'm going to go ahead and we're going to sit down and we're going to play the interview, and you guys can enjoy, sit back and hear a whole lot of great goodness coming out of the Microsoft Graph from Yina Arenas.
ShareGate makes it easier for organizations to adopt and use the latest Microsoft productivity tools, helping millions of users be happier and more productive at work. ShareGate is trusted by over 10,000 IT admins from over 110 countries to manage, migrate, and secure their SharePoint and Office 5 environments. ShareGate is recognized as the must-have tool for day-to-day administration of on-premises, cloud, and hybrid environments. Interested in learning more? Check us out at ShareGate.com to learn how ShareGate can make you more productive.
What if you could take any process your teams use to get work done and make it happen automatically? What if you could save countless hours and help people work better together? Nintex can make that happen. With the Nintex platform, work flows from person to person, system to system, to the cloud and back, and it flows in and out of the tools that you use every day. With Nintex, work flows so your teams can work smarter, work faster, and be more connected than ever.
All right, so we're here at Ignite. Welcome, Yina Arenas, to the Microsoft Cloud Show once again.
Hey, Chris. Thank you for having me on the show. Hey, Andrew. How's it going?
How are you, Yina? Thank you very much for coming to the show. Appreciate it again.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's so a lot of people here this week, right?
Already, it's swamped. Just getting to where we were recording this podcast was an epic mission for AC coming from the keynote. it seems like everybody wanted to go in the same direction. All 25,000 people, so.
Yeah. You can see a river of humans just flowing from one side to the other. It's, yeah.
And they weren't even moving. That was if the river would move, it was okay. It would have been better. But they weren't even moving. Yeah. No, it wasn't even flowing.
Slow moving stream.
Yeah.
It was, trickle.
That's the frustrating part about these big shows, right? It's always, the men's room is always, you know, it takes 30 minutes just to get to the front door of the men's room. And it's all this stuff. So it's fun stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
It's a big show. It's a real spectacle.
Yeah.
But thanks for making the time to come on the show. For those of our listeners who haven't listened to your previous episodes on the Microsoft Cloud Show, why don't you just introduce yourself and tell our audience who you are and what you work on and those sorts of things.
Absolutely. So my name is Yina, and I work for Microsoft as a program manager on the Office Extensibility team. And for the last, actually my entire career at Microsoft, I've been doing work on the developer platform and enabling developers to integrate with all of the data on Office 365 services. So I lead the project called Microsoft Graph, which I think you've heard quite a while, amount of information from that.
We waffle on about it quite a lot.
Yeah.
You might be a bit of a user of it, at Hyperfish too, right?
It was mentioned a lot in the keynotes today at Build on the developer conference that we do. It was mentioned a lot as well. Actually, one of the folks from my team did the count that there were like 67 mentions of the graph. So if you had a drink for each of them, like probably at the end, you'll be very drunk.
You'd be unconscious.
You'd be stopping the count somewhere around halfway.
You heard it here first, folks. Microsoft Graph drinking game.
Let's hashtag that.
Yes, so I've been working on the graph since its early days, actually since the small team that did the inception of the concept of bringing all of these data together and making it accessible for developers and also powering all of the experiences that we have across Office 365 and now Bing and Cortana and Dynamics and all of these different services at Microsoft that have data about users and groups and organizations. So that's what I do.
Nice. And, it's certainly taking off too, right? Like, as you said, lots of mentions in the keynote and things. Mm-hmm. And you know, anybody that's programming against or developing against Office 365 has probably looked at the graph. So I guess why don't we start with talking a little bit about like what's new in the graph at Ignite, and what have you guys been working on?
Absolutely. So there's a lot of new exciting things at the graph. We always strive to have good announcements for each of the conferences. And at Ignite, we are doing a huge announcement on the SharePoint site. So we now have the List API going GA, which is like really nice for all of the people that do integrations with SharePoint data. We have lists and sites available in the graph, in addition to drives, which is basically document libraries, right?
Gotcha.
Like, and all of the power of the OneDrive API on top of all of the, you know, it's branded as drives, but it's like, you know, for all SharePoint developers, it's just the document libraries and being able to do all of the manipulations on top of documents. Another set of APIs on the SharePoint side that we're doing for Ignite is file versions. So the capability of getting all of the information about the different versions of files and getting all of that information as part of your application as well. And on final manipulation, another feature that we have is the ability to download files as PDFs. So when you have all of your documents in SharePoint or OneDrive, whether they are in PowerPoints or Word or like Excel documents, there's an API that you can call to download all the content as a PDF file. So there's a lot of like things that are coming together that are pretty exciting news for the more traditional SharePoint developers or those that are interacting with files a lot of the time. And that's in the SharePoint world. We have also on Outlook, we have now an API that allows you to see the rooms and rooms availability for scheduling meetings.
That's so really nice.
So it's separating users and getting an API endpoint where you can see all of the rooms on a given location.
Great.
And also getting access to the rules in your inbox and getting access to time zones and categories and a whole bunch of different data that really enable you as a developer to build very rich applications that go around email, right? Like, you're probably not going to build another email client, but you're going going to build applications that interact with all of the different things that are around the processes of sending and receiving emails, like whether it is smart workflows or the ability to, like if you saw the keynote this morning, using a smart agent to go and set your time off. Like that was entirely powered by the graph, right?
Nice.
So there's there's Settings API then on top of the Outlook that we have to setting off your messages and all of these different things is available as part of things that you can call. So
that's really nice.
Also another one that is pretty cool. We have new updates as well coming from other places in the graph. Let me think. We have there's one that it's coming in a couple of weeks. We didn't get to land at Ignite per se, but the ability to use the Excel API on consumer files. So today, the Excel API is exposed on commercial, you know, whether it's OneDrive for Business or SharePoint or groups. You can use the Excel API to access all of the worksheets and tables and ranges and go to the detail of a cell and see all of that data. Very soon, we're going to enable that in consumer as well.
Oh, right.
So you can build integrations that go into that level of detail in Excel.
That sounds really
good. For OneDrive consumer users.
I bet there's scenarios like you see with IFT and Zapier and things like that where you know, you want to put a row in an Excel sheet when something's happened, and for a lot of users, that you know, they're using OneDrive not necessarily for business, for their own personal use, and being able to put rows in Excel and manipulate things and things like that would be really helpful.
Absolutely, yeah. Zapier is one of our customers that is
on the front line.
They're already working on that integration, actually, updating all of their SAPs to go and enable all of the consumer user base.
Cool.
To do specifically those scenarios. So yeah, those are some of the things that are new this time around at Ignite. From like more of the developer perspective, you know, serverless is one of the huge things that we're doing now right now. We've been working with the Azure Functions team to make it super easy to just start off an Azure function, have it create underneath the covers an app in an application identity in Azure Active Directory, connect all of the the library for you, and do all of the auth dance, so that basically you just start and you're able to just call the API.
So that's really nice.
It's
a great onboarding experience.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So
do you have to configure, you know, what permissions and things you want and
you do.
Stuff like that?
You do, but it is embedded into the user experience that is very simple. So you go to portal.azure.com, then go to create a new function, and then there, right now it's in preview, so you have to go and toggle the flag so that you can see the preview features and functions. So you toggle the flag, and then you will see on the templates when you can create like an HTTP trigger or something like that, you will see in the drop-down Microsoft Graph. And you'll see templates for creating. I think this week we're going to have four templates, and there are more templates coming. One that is basically making a simple HTTP request to the graph based on a trigger. And the other three are around webhooks. So like creating a webhook, responding to a webhook, and doing the lifecycle of the webhook.
Ooh, responding to a webhook. That's really cool.
Now, are those all webhooks coming from graph? Or is it so the function is we now have triggers from graph actually firing off my functions?
The templates will, one, create a subscription on the graph on a specific item. You can subscribe in the graph, you can subscribe to changes on calendar, on users and groups, on mailboxes, on a whole bunch of different things, on like files, right? So it will create it, right? And then once that fires, then you know that calls back your function, and then you and the function do whatever you want.
Exactly. Same thing using change token and all that stuff to go back and get the data.
Exactly. Yeah.
Does it maintain the subscription for you in terms of like keeping it renewed and everything?
Yes.
Too?
So? Well, I mean, there that's the life cycle. So that's the third template, which allows you to do the renewal or deletion of the subscription.
Gotcha. Wow. Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's a great onboarding experience.
That is pretty sleek. We are very happy with the partnership that we've done with the Azure Functions team to make it super easy to get developers onboarded into serverless and calling into all of the rich data that is exposed in the Microsoft Graph. So that is one that we're looking forward to, you know, make more templates available and, you know, take it all the way to general availability.
Having it all wired up just right out of the box is huge, because you know, although it's gotten a lot easier with auth and things in more recent years, it's still, you know, there's still the auth dance you got to do, and it's still a block for people who've got to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
Create the app and get it all wired up and everything. So ticking a few boxes and hitting go is going
to
really help.
Yeah, it's definitely the theme, and it's going to continue to be the theme for us to make it very, very easy and to knock down the walls that are preventing our developers to like really go and embrace all of our data in a very easy way. Mm. And like you're saying, auth continues to be one of those things where it takes a lot of brain cells to go and understand all of the different flows and to like get your app and running.
Yeah.
And we're definitely investing heavily on like, how do we simplify those processes and how do we make sure that not only you can make it in a simple way, but you can access all of the users across Microsoft services, right? Like not just the commercial users, but also consumer users in a very simple protocol, right? Like in the same.
It sounds like the SharePoint folks are going to be super excited about the SharePoint API stuff coming to Graph. Could you go into a little more detail on, you know, what that'll let you do? What does the surface area for SharePoint look like?
Yeah, so for SharePoint, so SharePoint APIs are quite huge, and we keep hearing that, well, not everything from SharePoint is in the Graph and all of that, but if you just look at what we've done over the last 6 months, it's getting there, like significantly. Like the first release of the Graph contained a whole bunch of information that you get from the user profile service, right? Like so, not only the information that the cache that is stored from in UPA, the user profile service from AAD, but also the extended properties,
like so skills, like skills and projects,
about me and all of these different set of properties that came from the SharePoint user profile service. Now, after that, we started with OneDrive, which, like I mentioned before, is a branding of all of the document libraries and the personal OneDrive for Business service that each user gets. And the API there allows you to do full manipulation on items that are a part of the drive, like, you know, whether they're files or photos or any other thing, and allows you to do full creation of those, as I mentioned, the downloading of PDFs.
Yeah, that's nice.
It has a very powerful search API that you can, a search endpoint on that API that you can go and search based on all of the different keywords and terms. And then so that completes that, like, you know, document kind of manipulation side of the house. Then it goes lists, as we were mentioning that we're GAing this time, right? Like, so in lists, you can access all of the different custom fields that are part of a list in SharePoint, right? So it's not only just the metadata of the list, but you can create and access, like, all of the different columns that you or different fields that you might want to create on a list.
And less of a reason to have to go to the rest of the SharePoint REST API
and
just stay with the one API.
I really hope you've kept the camel query syntax to query that through the Graph. I'm joking.
Yeah,
like,
no,
I'm being facetious, but I'm toning it back a little bit in case you have.
No, we have not.
Well, I'll say thank you on behalf of my
colleagues.
We'll stick with the REST syntax.
Well, camel is pretty powerful, but we've sticking with REST.
Yeah, so is assembly, but I mean,
REST and JSON. Very simple, exactly. it's REST-based, and you make an HTTP request on a REST endpoint. You get JSON back. Pretty easy to understand. And you know, we mentioned sites, lists. Sites is the other one, right? Like you get all of the different metadata for the site. I think if I think about a couple of areas where they're not exposed yet from SharePoint into the Graph, that would be around more of the UX components, right? Like, for example, getting access to, I will say, the suite nav, or the nav of the breadcrumb, or the quick access, or the quick launch, or all these different things in the page, that, you know, you'll still have to go to the SharePoint endpoint to get that information. But when you think about all of the structure of the data in SharePoint, right, like with the sites and lists and documents and all of that, And even, you know, being able to search on top of that data, that's exposed in the Microsoft Graph.
Is that stuff that you're looking to add to the graph eventually, or is it, are you staying where you are? Like, is it, should we look at the graph as far as SharePoint's concerned for more like IA and data and structure, and that other stuff that's more UX stuff that's more SharePoint specific that may not fit in Graph?
Yeah. So our ultimate goal is for developers to be able to access all of the data through Graph and not having to understand the complexities of the underlying endpoints.
Okay.
How we order the set of things that we get into the graph, and that depends on what our customers are asking for, right?
Like, sure.
And you know, for that, I'm going to make a pitch to send folks to User Voice. If there's, you know, specific items that you would like to see happening first, we take a look at what are our partners and what is the community asking for, and we prioritize our investments based on that.
Mm. I see. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's really nice. I'm looking forward to going and playing with the lists one, especially, and
yes,
digging into some of that, because, you know, anybody that spent any time in SharePoint knows lists are complicated sometimes with lots of items and metadata properties and all that sort of stuff. So it'll be exciting to see it being able to query in a little simpler syntax and over a nice REST-based endpoint.
So the, you mentioned too about the onboarding, or how the onboarding with like Azure Functions and everything. I mean, one of the things that I've been a big fan of, that at least I wanted to call out, make sure our listeners were aware of it, is the onboarding experience you have on the website for when people are brand new.
The quick starts.
Yes. I love giving a graph session instead of just saying, what do you want to build and what language? And you don't, as somebody that's a presenter, I don't have to prepare.
Yeah.
Because I can kind of walk in and say, whatever language you want and whatever technology you want to play with, I'm pretty much going to be able to cover it. So what do you want to do? Want to do this? Okay, we'll pick that. What language do you want to use? We want to do something in, say, Angular. We want to do something in like Node.js, or I want to do it in .NET or Python or whatever. And you just click, and you get a sample. It builds the app for you. Then once you through the little wizard to build the Azure AD app that you need, and then just away gives you a
code
zip
that you can do F5 and it just runs.
Yeah, and it's not like code that you get and okay, go change this. It's already done. That's what blows me away. And then right away we can stand it up. I've got people in the room. I remember doing a session for this back in Texas a few months ago, and somebody's just, their mouth just dropped open. Like, are you gotta be kidding me? And I was like, oh no, wait, there's more, wait for Steam extension.
Yes. So we my team has invested a lot on how we make it super simple for developers to interact with our data. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for a long time...
Securely,
of course. You know, at Microsoft, we build services built on trust, right? Like, you know, and all of the data access that is exposed through the Microsoft Graph is always behind huge security promise that, you know, every application that get access to the data is going to be fully consented either by the user or the administrator for in order to do that. But in the topic of developer experiences, my team has invested a lot of effort on making it very, very simple for developers to interact with it, right? Like with tools like the Graph Explorer, for example, where
it's looking really nice.
Yes, it's a couple of years back, actually, you and I were working on a build keynote where, you know, it was the first time that we were going to show the graph, and the
how do
you show an API, right? So we had this little tool called the Graph Explorer at that point in time, which it was bare bones, and we had Rob Lefferts and Satya Nadella on stage, like, going over the data, and it looks ages.
Very different now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Way better how it is right now. Like, you go there, you can interact with the data with a demo account that we have, so you don't even need to log in with your account if you just, like, you know, want to see some of the requests. We have a lot of sample queries as well, so you can come in, like, once you log in, either with your commercial account, like with, you know, work and school account, or with your personal account, like, you know, hotmail.com or outlook.com account, you can log into the Graph Explorer and see all of the requests and a whole bunch of samples that, you know, get you started. And once you're ready to write some code, then, you know, you can start with the quick starts, right? Like, the quick starts take you through in a variety of platforms and languages, and you can just follow this flow that gets the app registered for you and brings it into the code, puts all of the, like you were saying, all of the wiring, the client ID, the secret, and all of the different things, and package it for you in a way that you can just download and run in any of those languages and show you how you can interact with the graph in a very easy way.
Well, when you sit down as a developer, you want to see, is this going to be something that I can use for this next project, right? You want to be, how fast can I get to the point, or you're trying to get to the point where I can at least see data coming back, or I'm at least writing data and then seeing it come back. I want to get to that point just to give me a level of confidence, like I'm on the right track. And that with the graph, with the work you guys have in the quick starts, I mean, if that takes more than 10 minutes, you've got a really slow connection. I mean, if it takes more than 5 minutes, you've got a really slow internet connection.
Yeah, our metrics is 3 seconds to get something for you in the Graph Explorer, 3 minutes for the quick start, for you to, like, when you land on the page, to be able to have your code up and running.
3 minutes is fair. Yeah. I mean, that's, you can do it faster than that, but I mean, it's not saying you can't, it's that with what you've provided, people can already do that, get there less than three minutes. So I commend you on what you guys are doing with that. That's awesome. I wish more groups at Microsoft would also take a lesson from that, but other people should take a lesson from, that's like, it's the best way to show off an API.
Yeah, well, thanks. Thank you. I know that the team definitely appreciates all of those nice comments.
So in the keynote this morning, we also heard quite a lot about LinkedIn and also about the graph. And so I guess since we've got, you know, the queen of the graph, so to speak, we thought we'd talk a little bit about that and what LinkedIn means to Microsoft Graph and how that's being exposed and some of the experiences through Office and Office 365.
Yeah, so that's a great topic. As we were mentioning before, the Microsoft Graph contains all of these rich data from Microsoft services, right? And it powers our experiences as well. So it's not just something that it's not just an API that we're exposing to developers to access the data behind our services, whether it is Office 365 or on the EMS side with Intune or some of the other services that we have behind the Microsoft Graph, but it's also powering our own experiences. It's powering experiences in Office 365, it's powering experiences in Bing, in Cortana, and all of these different places where it's getting people more productive in the enterprise. And now with LinkedIn, we're getting those two data sets together, right? Mm. Like the data set behind the Microsoft Graph and the data set behind LinkedIn, and putting them together to power more of these like very, very rich experiences in Office 365. Mm. So some of the examples that we're gonna start seeing is like obviously around people, right? Like imagine when you go to Outlook and you have that experience of getting there, typing somebody's email and just getting that great silhouette nice that you love very much. If you don't know that person, right? Like now, if that person is not in your directory, with the power of the LinkedIn data, we can reach out to LinkedIn, come and see similar matches for people and bring that into the Outlook experience and say, hey, is this person, you know, this contact that you have in your LinkedIn network, and then being able to connect the two together and see all of that data from LinkedIn powering, like feeding into the Outlook experience. Mm. And that's one example. Another example is on the profile experience in Office 365, right? Like one of the keynote demos this morning was about specifically on that experience where you're connecting to people on your professional network based on that data, right? Like it recognizes and does a discovery of the users in LinkedIn that might be closer to you because of how your network is, right? And brings you that the opportunity to connect them right there into the Office 365 experience. So we're going to see more and more of these integrations of LinkedIn into LinkedIn data into our first party products as we go along.
Yeah, sure. It makes a lot of sense, right? Because it's such a rich set of data about people.
Right.
And it's their public persona, right? So it's what they put about themselves and how they want to portray their experience and the projects they've worked on and their jobs that they've had, and being able to sort of bring that context in line with where you go find other people, whether it be in Outlook or Search or what have you, makes a whole lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what does that mean for the graph? I mean, so you've talked about the graph powering some of the stuff. Mm-hmm. Does that mean I can go query for users now and also get all their LinkedIn data as well?
So today in the graph, you can query for users and get all the data around them within the Microsoft services. From the LinkedIn perspective, that data is not exposed through the Microsoft Graph, but developers can get it through the LinkedIn Partner Program.
Gotcha.
So if you are a partner that wants to integrate with LinkedIn data, there is a partner program that you can apply. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's the way to get access to that data.
Gotcha.
On our experiences, we are accessing that data basically through the similar fashion.
Sure.
And feeding all of that into the graph to expose and power those first party experiences.
I see. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So from a dev's perspective, they'll need to go use the LinkedIn API for now to go draw that information. It's a really interesting challenge, right? Because it's that person's personal data. It's not the company's ownership of that person's profile, mm-hmm. from my perspective at least. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like a very fine line and tightrope to walk, that if you could get access through the graph, it sort of makes it feel like the company owns that data or it's the company's data, but it's not really, right? It's the person's.
There are some boundaries that need to be defined.
Yeah.
Obviously, the things that we bring together are like you were saying before, they're public exposed data.
Right.
But the boundaries of the Microsoft Graph today is around users or groups and organizational
data. Organization
boundary, right?
Yeah.
So yes, that organizational boundary. So so that's where it's staying, and then it's getting fed by LinkedIn's data on our experiences. But to what you were saying, we're keeping
the balance right.
Keeping the balance right for now. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Certainly, it's great to see the first steps of the acquisition coming together, and obviously an Outlook and everywhere people cards show up is obviously a complete and utter no-brainer. Have you got any sort of tips for our audience on things that you guys are working on down the line about bring this data closer together or new ways that they'll be able to interact with it, or are you guys being hush-hush on what you're working on?
No, there's a lot of things that we have currently on flight that we will love more feedback on. We're definitely working at build. We announced support for batching. So you can do JSON batch requests, and right now it's limited to 5 requests, and we're working on obviously enhancing that and making it for more type, being able to add more requests into a single batch and also being able to chain them together.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking for feedback on that. We are also, there's also a set of preview APIs that we have on the graph. We have APIs around Teams, and we have APIs on Project Roam, which is one of that has been quite popular since build. We have APIs coming from Intune and the Office 365 reporting services, and more things in preview coming from Outlook and from from all of the other services that we have that are part of the graph. So we're always looking for feedback on those things. And if you want to try some of these things, just go to graph.microsoft.com, just click on the Graph Explorer and the Quick Starts, and in, like I said, 3 seconds, you're going to be able to do a request in Graph Explorer. Less than 3 minutes, you can have code running in Visual Studio or any IDE in your favorite language. And if there's a language that is missing there, then just let us know.
I'd be curious if there's one that's missing. It's a lot more exhaustive than what I've seen anywhere else.
I mean, I went looking for a COBOL example.
Oh, come on.
I'm really upset you guys don't have that covered.
I thought about Fortran, but I felt Ruby was painful enough, so I just go with that.
some mainframe graph calls coming your way.
Yeah. Get somebody on that.
Nice. Yep.
Hey, so anything we've missed, anything our listeners should know about before we sort of wrap up? You have some sessions and things you're doing this week?
Yes, there's. We have a ton of sessions talking about graph this week. There's around 12 to 13 sessions, even more if you count the theater, like breakouts and I think there's 5 more theater sessions happening at the expo booth. So there's a lot of sessions talking about graph, all the way from like if you are an IT persona to a developer. Obviously, most of them are focused on developer, but we also have some sessions we have sessions on, you know, what's new. We have sessions on how you build enterprise bots that connect to the graph, which actually Hyperfish is going to be featured there. We have sessions on how to build devices that connect to the graph, so with IoT devices. How we have sessions on, as I mentioned, on Azure Functions. So regardless of the application that you're building, you know, like all of these different things, being able to take advantage of serverless, connecting to the IoT network, or like, you know, building bots, like we have that. We have sessions on how we are doing enterprise applications, so talking about like some of the work that we've done around healthcare and finance. We have sessions on migrating from your app from previous APIs into the Microsoft Graph.
Ooh, that's nice.
We have sessions about you know, what it means to manage your application and like for users and everything. So we have everything. We have a lot of different sessions this week, and we're looking forward to see a lot of people participating in the sessions. So just go to the session builder, look for Graph, and you'll see all of the
And all of these are recorded and
they are
published live. Oh, public, not live. published after Ignite, or you know, a couple of days after. So for those of you who are listening that unfortunately can't be here for whatever reason, you'll be able to go and find all of Yina's sessions and Graph sessions in general up on the Ignite website after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Or stuck in the crowds trying to cross the street and everything and you can make a session.
It's actually kind of overwhelming how large the conference is, because there's so many good sessions on.
Yeah.
And you end up, you know, double or triple booked in some spots, and you've got to, do I go to this or do I go to that? And
yeah.
So being all recorded is really helpful.
That's a good part of it, You can just go back and watch the recordings. And
That's awesome.
Excellent. We really appreciate you coming on the show again and spending some time with us and talking through Microsoft Graph. You mentioned graph.microsoft.com is the place to get started. How can people reach out? What's the best way to get in touch? You mentioned user voice as well.
Yes.
I guess that's linked off the website as well.
So we have our developer portal that you can navigate through just going through graph.microsoft.com. We have, if there are questions, Stack Overflow is the place where we have paying a lot of attention. Just tag it with hashtag Microsoft Graph and use the same hashtag in Twitter and tell us what are the projects that you're building, and in user voice for feature requests. So we're, you know, we're very active in the community, and we're looking forward to see and hear about all of the different integrations that people are building. And to me, well, you can find me on Twitter at @Yina_Arenas. That's with a Y. And looking forward to hear from people about what they're doing with our platform.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. And no doubt we'll see you again at Build.
If not sooner yet.
Okay. Cool. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show, and we'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or an MP3, and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music, head to music.kritchie.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and the Google Play Store by searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show, or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook, searching for Microsoft Cloud Show, or on Twitter, at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up to our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.